Welcome to the latest episode of the Gospel Podcasts. These recordings are published weekly by the Christians that assemble at the Hospital Hill Gospel Hall in Dunfermline, Scotland. Be assured you are in our prayers, and we know that God will bless you for listening. Further information is provided at the end of this short podcast. I now pass you over to the latest message recently recorded at the Gospel Hall. Thank you.
John's Gospel, chapter 12 and verse 36, we'll read together. These are the words of the Lord Jesus Christ. He says, "While ye have light, believe in the light, that ye may be the children of light. These things spake Jesus, and departed, and did hide himself from them." We'll read it again just for a sense of clarity. "While ye have light, believe in the light, that ye may be the children of light, that these things spake Jesus, and departed, and did hide himself from them." And we know that God will bless the reading of his word to us this afternoon. Generally in life, warnings are very important. Warnings often can shelter us from danger, they can help us, they can guide us along life's journey, and sometimes as well, warnings, when they're given, they can even save us. And this afternoon we want to consider from the Word of God a very simple and very clear warning. And generally in life, you only listen to a warning depending on the source of it. Is the source of this warning credible? Can I trust the warning which is given? Can I trust the information being given? This afternoon we're going to consider a warning which you must surely trust, because it comes from a source which is credible and reliable. It comes from the lips of the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. And in this warning, this one verse we have read, the Lord Jesus is thinking about the subject of light. And that is what he considers throughout this. And it's a great gospel theme, the idea of light in contrast to the darkness. And in a very simple way today, we want to consider four aspects of light in the verse which we have read and just go through it together. The first thing we want to notice this afternoon is the residence of the light. You notice the first thing the Lord Jesus says in our verse, "While ye have light," or really many translate it, and we'll translate it this afternoon, "while you have the light." You see, when the Lord Jesus is speaking about the light here, he's not just thinking about an idea of good versus evil, or an idea of some philosophical doctrine. He's speaking about the light. What he's thinking of this here is a person. It is none less than he himself. We will think in a moment or two, he is the light of the world. And he's the one that shines out into the darkness this afternoon. And he says to these people gathered on that day, "While ye have the light." Now, to understand how amazing a thing this is, we need to maybe track back a little bit. And we need to think about ourselves this afternoon. Because the Bible speaks very clearly about what you and I are in this world. And you see, when you look at the scriptures, we are nearly always linked with darkness in the scriptures. You can think of John chapter 3. The Lord Jesus said this, "Men love darkness rather than light." And that is our inward desires today. They are linked with darkness and sin in our desires. You can think this afternoon about Ephesians 5. Paul says that we are those that carry out the unfruitful works of darkness. And whether it's our inward desires or whether it's our outward deeds this afternoon, they're all marked by darkness. And what about the future? Jude, in his epistle, speaks about a coming day for those in their sins. And he says, "To whom is reserved the blackness of darkness forever?" And you see, inwardly, there's darkness and sin. In our actions, there's darkness and sin. And there's a day coming yet when there'll be a further darkness, a further day of suffering and of judgment. And you see, this afternoon, we do not find ourselves in a good situation. That is why the warning of the Lord Jesus comes to us this afternoon. It comes with great gravity. We think of the words of Psalm 107, summing up. The psalmist says this, "We are those that sit in darkness and in the shadow of death, being bound in affliction and iron." I wonder this afternoon, is that how you feel in sin today? Unable to rectify your situation? Perhaps you have tried everything of this world. Perhaps you have went down every avenue and sought to be the best you can be, but you cannot break free from your sin. You remember that woman in Mark chapter 5, the woman with the issue of blood. It says of her, she had suffered many things of many physicians and had spent all she had and was nothing bettered but grew worse. You see, that might be you and your sins this afternoon. You've tried every religion, you've tried every philosophy, you've tried every way of life, and all that's happened is your sin has gotten worse. And it's gotten a little bit darker, and the outlook has become a little bit more glib. This afternoon, that's what sin will do in your life and in mine. Now, that's a very negative way to start our gospel message, undoubtedly, this afternoon. Because the gospel message is a message of good news. And what is the good news this afternoon? The good news is this, that despite the fact that you and I have darkness in our souls, and darkness in our works, and darkness in the future, that God today has moved towards us. 1 Peter chapter 2, Peter says this, God who hath called you out of the darkness and into his marvellous light. You see, this afternoon, God would not have it that you and I would remain in our sins. God would have it that you and I would be illuminated, that we would be delivered, and that we would be brought into his presence. That is the love of God this afternoon. That is the mercy of God this afternoon, says the Lord in John chapter 3, that well-known gospel verse. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. And you see, though you and I find ourselves in our sins today, though we have fallen short of God's standard, God's love moves out towards you and towards me. And you might ask the question, how is his love seen then? How is the love of God seen towards you and I in our darkness? It is seen in the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. He has come into this world to be the light of the world, says our verse. Well, you have the light. You see, the light is shining in the darkness today. Isaiah the prophet spoke about the Lord Jesus before he came into this world, and he spoke about what he would do, and he speaks about it in chapter 42. He says his purpose was this, to give thee for a light to the Gentiles, to open the blind eyes, to bring the prisoners out of prison and them that sit in darkness out of the prison house. You see, that's what the Lord Jesus can do this afternoon. He can open the blind eyes. He can illuminate the darkest soul. He can deliver you from the prison house of sin this afternoon. And that is the love of God that he ever sent his Son to be that great deliverer, to be the saviour for you and for me. And says the Lord at the beginning of our warning, he speaks about the residence of the light. While ye have the light, you see, the light was shining amongst them. This was a great day of opportunity for the people because the light was shining. And if we consider John's gospel, this idea of the Lord Jesus as the light is a very common theme. It's something which is developed throughout the gospel, and we can learn about the Lord Jesus from it. You see, chapter 1 of the gospel, we can learn about the perfections of the light. In these verses in chapter 1, we learn some very simple truths. Says John in chapter 1 of the Lord Jesus, in whom is life, and the life was the light of men. He goes on and says, that which is the true light, which lighteth every man that cometh into the world. And in a very simple way, in chapter 1 of John's gospel, we learn this, that the one who is the light is none less than God himself. He is divine in his character. He is eternal this afternoon. And when we speak about the Lord Jesus, we're speaking about God's eternal Son. Does that not show the measure of God's love this afternoon? Not simply sending a servant, not sending a mere man this afternoon, but sending his only begotten Son to come into this world of darkness. But we can consider as well in John's gospel, not just the perfections of the light, we can think about the person of the light. John chapter 8, the Lord Jesus says this, I am the light of the world. He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life. You see, this afternoon, we're not thinking about light, we've already said, it's not just a moral idea of living a good life. When we're speaking about light this afternoon, we're talking about a person. The gospel message is centred in a person this afternoon. And he is, you notice, the light of the world. You see, none are beyond the scope of the saving power of the Lord Jesus this afternoon. No matter how dark you think your soul may be, no matter how deep in sin you may think you are, he is the one who, as the light of the world, can illuminate you. He can save you this afternoon because he has finished the work at the place called Calvary. In John chapter 8, he speaks of himself as the light of the world. And there was an occasion in that passage where a woman is brought to him. She's brought to him in the midst of sin. And all others would condemn that woman, but you remember what the Lord says on that occasion. Neither do I condemn thee. Go and sin no more. You see, what we learn is this. The one who shines out as the light of the world is the one who's marked by love and compassion for those that are in the darkness. This afternoon, he loves you dearly. This afternoon, he desires your salvation. And he would long that you would come to know him as your Redeemer. But we think of John chapter 9, we move on in the development of the light. You see, we learn about the perfections of the light. We learn about the person of the light. John chapter 9, we learn about the power of the light. You see, in John chapter 9, the Lord Jesus again talks about himself as the light of the world. But there's a different scene here. In John chapter 9, there's a man brought to him, a man who was blind from his birth. What an amazing picture of sin. This was a man, and from the moment he came into this world, all he ever knew was darkness. That's you and me this afternoon. All we've ever known in this world is darkness and sin. But after coming to meet the Lord Jesus, what does that man say? He says, "One thing I know, whereas I was blind, now I see." And if in John chapter 8 we learn that the light of the world has compassion and love and care for the sinner, what we learn in John chapter 9 is this: the light of the world has power to deliver the sinner. No matter how dark their soul might be, no matter how deep your sin is this afternoon, says the Hebrew writer in chapter 7 of his epistle, and we apply the truth of it this afternoon, he's able to save unto the uttermost all that come unto God by him. But then we come finally to John chapter 12. And in verse 46 of John chapter 12, a little bit on from our warning, we find another final reference to the light. We here learn about the purpose of the light. Says the Lord Jesus, "I am come a light into the world, that whosoever believeth on me should not abide in darkness." You see, when we're thinking about the Lord Jesus as the light of the world, we're not thinking this afternoon about one who came to set a good example. We're not thinking about one who came to set up a religion or a philosophy or a way of life. This is one, and his express purpose of coming into this world was that you might no longer abide in darkness, that you might be saved. 1 John 4, the apostle says, the Father sent the Son to be the saviour of the world. He sent him that he might be your saviour this afternoon, and he might go to the place called Calvary. And does all this not add a bit of weight to our verse this afternoon? Considering the one who is the light, his power and his love and his grace and his delivering ability, says the Lord Jesus, while ye have the light. You see, that word while would show us that this is something which is a limited opportunity. The Lord Jesus says, I as the light am not going to shine out among you forever. There will come a day when the day of opportunity will close, and I will shine no longer, and I will offer salvation no longer. And therefore, says the Lord Jesus, it is vital that you move in light of that. It is vital that you respond in light of that. And with that, we come to our next clause in the verse. You see, we have the residence of the light. How amazing this afternoon. The good news of the gospel is this: the light is still shining. The day of grace still runs its course, and you can be saved this afternoon. But we come to our next clause, and we see here not the residence of the light, but we see the response to the light. You notice what the Lord Jesus says: will ye have the light, believe in the light. You see, this afternoon we have pointed out that this is a limited opportunity when the gospel can be preached and when the Lord Jesus will shine out this afternoon. So in light of that limited opportunity, what must you and I do? Says the Lord Jesus, believe in the light. And you notice how clear this is this afternoon. The Lord Jesus is not saying believe in an idea, believe in a way of life, believe in a religion. Rather, he's saying believe alone in a person. This afternoon, salvation is only found in him. You will not find it in good works this afternoon. You will not find it in church attendance this afternoon. You will not find it in good morals this afternoon, says Peter in Acts chapter 4. Neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given amongst men whereby we must be saved. By all means this afternoon, do your best in life. By all means this afternoon, attend a church and give to charity and read your Bible. But we say very kindly this afternoon, none of them will get you salvation. None of them will save you, and none of them will illuminate you from your state of darkness today. Because it is only the Lord Jesus who went to the place called Calvary. Only he went and dealt with the issue of sin. There he was the one who could cry after those hours of darkness, "It is finished." What it meant was this: he, at the place called Calvary, bore God's judgment for sin. He bore the punishment that we could not bear. And as a result, with that work being finished, provision has been made that you can be saved and liberated and illuminated today. But you see, the work has been done, but there's a response needed. There is a step required from you and from me. And he says, he that believe on the light. You see, this afternoon, it's not complicated salvation. It couldn't be any more simple, in fact. You see, Mark chapter 5, the Lord met a man whose life seemed to be falling apart, and everything that could go wrong went wrong for this man, and he didn't know where to turn, and he didn't know what to do. And the Lord Jesus said very simply to him, "Be not afraid, only believe." See, that's the message of the gospel this afternoon. There's nothing you or I can do to rectify our situation. There's nothing you or I can do to bring ourselves out of darkness. But says the Lord Jesus, be not afraid, only believe. That means to not simply know things about him, but rather to trust in him. To trust in him as the one who's completed the work at the place called Calvary. To trust in him as the one who cried it is finished. And to rest on that finished work for now and for eternity. It all comes down to this afternoon. Whether you believe or whether you refuse him. Says the Lord in John chapter 8, if you believe not that I am he, you shall die in your sins. That's an awful thing to consider this afternoon. What that would mean. And you see, it's all about whether you trust in him and whether you respond to the light. But then we move on in our warning very quickly. We've considered the residence of the light. We've considered the response to the light. But let's think for a moment or two about the result of the light. Says the Lord, will ye have the light, believe in the light, that ye may be the children of light. You see, you may ask the question this afternoon, if I believe in the Lord Jesus, if I put my faith and trust in him, what will be the result for me? Says the Lord Jesus, that ye may be the children of light. You see, this speaks about the liberty of the believer this afternoon. You can be made a child of the light. The idea is this, a child carries on or possesses the characteristics of their parents. And this is a child who is illuminated, who has new life, a new liberty within them. Do you not long for something of that this afternoon? To be born again, to know a new nature within, to not know darkness in your soul, but to be truly illuminated and to be Christ for now and for eternity. You see, this is the result of the light. And there are those today that can testify to this in the hall, that they have been illuminated and they've come to know salvation as their own possession. But as you look through the scriptures this afternoon, you'll find that believers are not just children of the light. There's many other things they are children of today. Let us just run through them quickly to perhaps give encouragement to those of us that are believers and to show you this afternoon all that's on offer in salvation. Romans chapter 8, Paul speaks of us as the children of God. You see, there it's not the liberty of the believer, it's the intimacy of the believer. This afternoon, we are those that are separate from God. We're at enmity with God because of our sin. But if you trust in him this afternoon, you can be made a child of God. You can be brought into living relationship with him. Says Romans chapter 5, Paul says, being justified by faith, we have peace with God. Do you not long for that this afternoon? Peace with God. Rest with regards to your soul's eternal burden. Rest with regards to your eternal destiny. You can have it this afternoon in the person of the Lord. Says John chapter 10, I give unto them eternal life and they shall never perish. Children of God, it's their intimacy. But then you think of Luke chapter 20. The Lord Jesus speaks and he speaks about his people as the children of resurrection. And I think that's a lovely thing. You see, in this world, you and I must face death. That is unavoidable. 1 Corinthians 15, in Adam all die. And death is part and parcel of the pathway down here. But if you're a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ, you can be assured today, even if death comes across your pathway, there is life beyond the grave today. And you can be secure, not just for now, but for eternity, as to your soul's dwelling place. Why can you be secure today? Listen to these words of John chapter 11. I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. Do you not long for something of that security this afternoon? We live in a world of such chaos, where there are individuals called into eternity every moment of every day. How good would it be to have that level of security this afternoon? To rest on the words of the Lord Jesus and to be a child of resurrection, knowing that eternal life is your personal possession. It's all on offer this afternoon. It's all through him this afternoon and through his finished work at Calvary. So we have the residence of the light. We have the response to the light. We have the result of the light this afternoon. But let us just finish as we close by thinking about the removal of the light in the last clause of the verse. It says this, and this is now John commenting on what's happening. He says this, these things spake Jesus and departed and did hide himself from them. And I think this is one of the most solemn verses in the New Testament. You see, in John's Gospel, the Lord Jesus for 3.5 years had preached every day to these men and women. He'd extended his hand in grace and he had offered salvation to them again and again and again. But this was the last time he ever preached to them. This was the last opportunity they would ever get to see the light. Is that not a solemn thing this afternoon? Does it not add a bit of weight to what we considered at the start of our gathering? The Lord Jesus says, while ye have the light. You see, there came a moment in their experience when the light was going to be removed. And the people would never see the Lord again. They would never hear the message of the gospel preached again. There would never be another opportunity to repent and to trust in him. You see, we often in this world like to think of ourselves as being in control. I will decide when I'm going to get right with God. I will decide when I'm going to believe in the gospel. But this afternoon, be very wary, because there will come a day when the light will be removed. There will come a day, in the words of verse 36, when the Lord will hide himself and the light will no longer go out. You think of the words of Isaiah chapter 55. A great gospel verse says, Isaiah, seek ye the Lord while he may be found. Call ye upon him while he is near. You see, Isaiah understood that truth, that there will come a time when the Lord will not be found, and there will come a time when the Lord will not be near. And we caution you this afternoon from the scriptures to make sure that while ye have the light, believe in the light. Make sure that you avail yourself of this opportunity. You remember in the Old Testament, and we close with this afternoon, there was that King Zedekiah in 2 Chronicles 36, and you can read about him. And he was an evil and sinful man. And as you read about him in his life, God sent warning after warning. And it says that he sent prophets and he sent messengers and he sent men to him to try and rectify him. And every time Zedekiah refused. And he sent more prophets and more messengers to try and change the man's ways. But after the umpteenth message to try and get him to change, you remember what's said in 2 Chronicles 36. The writer simply says this: then there was no remedy. There came a point when God's mercy had run out. There came a point where there was no chance to turn back. We say this afternoon, for those men and women that the Lord spoke to, their opportunity was done. He removed himself, and the gospel no longer went out to them. We say this afternoon, make sure that while you have the light, believe in the light. Says Paul in 2 Corinthians chapter 6, behold, now is the accepted time. Behold, now is the day of salvation. We commend the Saviour to you this afternoon, and trust that you'll come to know him as your own. We'll just close with a word of prayer.
Thank you once again for taking the time to listen to this, the latest episode in the Gospel Podcast series. We trust that God will bless you for listening. And if you've not already done so, that you would take this opportunity to put your trust in the Lord Jesus Christ for the eternal salvation of your precious soul. If you would like further information, or indeed a free personal copy of God's Word, the Bible, you're welcome to contact us. Full contact details can be found on our website, www.hospitalhillgospelhall.org. May God bless you, and goodbye for now.